Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Second Take Podcast. I'm the host that missed to stop, Sebastian.
Do you remember what I told you in the tunnel? And I'm Alex.
Do you want to change your bullshit story, sir? I'm Zancy Webber.
And today we are reviewing The Fugitive, starring Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones, Celia Ward, Julianne Moore, Joe Pantoliano, Andreas Katsoulis, Jeroen Krabbe. Written by Jeb Stewart, David Toohey, Roy Huggins? Sure. And directed by Andrew Davis. Nailed it. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. How are we today, guys?
I'm beautiful.
That's nice, Zane.
I'm here.
We're all here. But emotionally, we're also here. All right, we'll kick it off, guys. Anyone got any trivia? Am I in the right order this time?
I have so much trivia.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to start us off. So not a lot of people know this, but there was a TV show back in the 60s called The Fugitive, and that's what this film was based off of.
Yep.
When you say not many people know this.
People who haven't read any trivia on this movie might not be aware.
Or were alive at the time.
We weren't, though. So we were much, we're very dead.
Just not alive yet.
Yeah.
Depending on how
undead.
You...
Yep, there we go.
There you go. Done.
I was more of a vampire, but Alex is more of a zombie.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. You got lots of buddies. I mean, you don't own real estate like a vampire does. You got lots of buddies.
If you watch this film, you can enjoy 14 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
At the start of the film.
There's a lot of credits.
There is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like end credits at the start, but like credits over the film. You know what I mean? This is for the people that haven't seen it.
You jerks.
Selling it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, watch it for the credits. Credits the good bit.
Yeah. I don't want them to like put it on and be like, oh, it's the end of the film. I haven't even watched it yet.
Well, it's not. You just said it's not those kind of credits.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Are there any other trivia other than the 40 minutes?
Yeah. A lot was improvised, just like this segment.
Yep.
Yep. Off to you guys.
I've got really in fakey, but.
Yeah, you do.
Do you have any.
Yeah, go on.
Do the really fakey.
Okay, this isn't my best. In the director's cut, the actual ending's left a bit more ambiguous and they try to hint towards that Harrison Ford may have actually killed his wife and this whole thing was just a sort of scheme to get himself out of it. Or in the original cut of the film, Harrison Ford doesn't kill anyone. Well, the character. I mean, I assume Harrison Ford didn't murder anyone on set because he's not in jail.
Did he kill someone in this?
So,
not directly, did he?
Not that I remember.
So what you guys saying?
I'm going to say the second one
is true.
True?
You are correct. He doesn't kill anyone.
No. Yeah.
The one guy that almost dies in front of him is Neil Flynn, the janitor from Scrubs, as the transit cop, but that wasn't him that did it. And he doesn't even kill the bad guy in the end. He just gets him arrested. So, yeah. He actually saves lives. Technically, he has a net gain in this film of lives.
He is a doctor.
Yeah, he's a doctor. Mm-hmm. He
saves a kid's life.
Exactly, yeah. Like he's actually plus one into the murder scale the negative one. Yeah. Zane, do you have any trivia?
So they actually crashed a train for this film. Yeah, and it's still a tourist attraction.
Really?
Yeah. In wherever they did it. It's North Carolina somewhere.
Yeah. In 2,000 years after nuclear winter has finally left us and the remnants of humankind go to examine the ruins of society, they're going to be like, why did this train stay crashed for so long? We carbon dated this thing. It's 4,000 years old. What the fuck happened? Doesn't make any sense. I'm just saying you're really confusing future archaeologists.
In 2,000 years in the future, that train will not have been there for 4,000 years.
Yeah, no. I got lost in numbers, but my point is you're confusing future archaeologists.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to let them have it. Kind of glad you brought it
up. The point is there.
Also, Tommy Lee Jones was not a huge fan of this movie, and he was repeatedly quoted as saying, look, no one's going to win any awards for this movie, and then he won the Oscar for supporting actor.
Yeah. Good on him.
You know my feelings about Tommy Lee Jones.
Pardon?
You know my Tommy Lee Jones feelings.
Do I?
I've definitely. We during How to Save, we had a whole.
I don't put him out to your pasture. Opinions or take him on board.
Take him out back like Old Yeller. It's the way he'd want to go.
Oh, come on now.
Anything else?
There's some like the other doctor played by Jane Lynch. Was originally meant to have a bigger part, but they took that out because they didn't want him to have that awkward relationship, side relationship.
I heard it was her acting, but
what?
I didn't.
Was, you know, noticed slander. It in her acting.
He heard no. It was her acting.
Right. It might have been. She was young,
drunk.
That's all I have.
Wonderful. Do we go babies next or do we do trivia? Tweets next. I forget the order.
Tweets.
What do we do? It's like we haven't done this for several years now.
Let me explain. All year.
I forget every week, but we also broke over Christmas. So this is our first time doing this in a month almost.
Movie babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this doesn't help me at all.
Why?
I've got two. I'm going to start us off.
Yep.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Please explain.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can
see it. I don't see it at all.
Indiana Jones, from what I've heard.
I definitely don't understand either of these. What do you mean X-Men Origins Wolverine? Which part of that?
He's a fugitive.
Wolverine's a fugitive. He's on the fucking run. What do you mean?
He? Yeah. After the experiment.
He's on the run. That's literally the movie. He's on the run.
And then they, yeah.
Well, let me do you one better. Logan. Because he's also on the run, but it's a good movie.
Logan was one of my babies.
Was it? Sorry, can you go next then?
No, you've already gone. What was your other
one? Let's go US Marshals, just to be a complete dickhead. US Marshal is the sequel to this film with a different name. Tommy Lee Jones plays the same character and he's hunting after Wesley Snipes, who was a similar, he was a marshal, wasn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, who was framed for it. It's literally the exact same film again with a different character, but he's, yeah, same guy.
My other one was Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Tweets then, guys.
Tweets. Let's tweet it.
Yeah.
Let's tweet it up.
I cheated. Yeah. I'm just gonna read some dialogue I pulled from the internet. This is my tweet for this movie. There are pretenders among us, geniuses with the ability to become anyone they want to be. In the 1960s, a corporation known as the Center Isolated, isolated a young pretender named, insert Harrison Ford's name, and exploited his genius for their research. Then one day, their pretender ran away. # The Fugitive. Same movie, right?
Wasn't that a TV show?
That's a TV show.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what happens in this movie, minus the genius and the...
And the different identities and the
He has so many different ideas in this movie.
Yeah, no, but he's a race car driver.
This is one story.
And he... Yeah, okay, but he doesn't become literally different people.
He's a homeless man. He becomes a Mexican janitor. He becomes a doctor at several places. He's on the phone pretending to be... He is the pretender.
Mine is... Oh no, my wife's dead. You killed her. No, I didn't. Oh no, I'm going to jail. No, I'm not. Yeah, I probably didn't kill her.
Wink.
The end? Question mark?
No hashtags?
No hashtags.
Ooh. All right.
It doesn't need it. It's an old movie.
You're going to hate me.
Yep.
I already do.
It's all hashtags.
Hashtag. A one. No. Hey.
You can do this, man.
Yeah, yeah, okay. A one-armed armed man kills a doctor's wife and almost gets away with it. Hashtag Armageddon away with it next time.
Why do they pick a one-armed assassin? Sorry, it's just... But come on.
It was one arm, right? Not one leg.
It was, well, I don't know. We definitely had one arm. Was that ever explained as to why they picked him? It's like in a Bond film. Like, this is odd job. He throws hats. Like, okay, cool. Why? Guns are much better and faster. It's a lot easier to practice with
but
a gun.
No one expects a hat.
Who throws a shoe, honestly? Such a dickhead. All right, let's get into the guts of this and we'll start with the good. Yeah?
The good.
Yes.
This
the
film.
Good.
This is like the best period of films for me to watch in.
Good.
I love like 90s cop dramas. There's the pacing of them. It always sits really well for me. They're not too drawn out. Like this film's like, was it 2020? So it's quite a long one, but it doesn't feel too drawn out with the storytelling. But also I felt like if the same movie came out today, it would probably be just as long, but the conclusion would literally just come out of nowhere and here it is. Oh my God, it's all violent and crazy, but this took its time to actually tell the proper story. So I appreciate that because I feel like if we had gone back 10 years before that, this film would have been 3 hours long and it would have been too much of it and 10 years into the future and it's just shitty and fast. This is like the perfect time period for this film.
80s movies weren't exceptionally long, Seb.
Was this... I thought this movie was 89.
No, 93.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, go back 20 years, sorry. And then this film would be really long. And then, like I said, jump 20 more into the future? Too quick. So it's a good period for this film. It fit exactly where it needed to be, and I really like that.
I think if this movie was made again, it would be actually a fair bit shorter. I think a lot of the kind of procedural nature of what we saw could have been cut. I think a lot of it, there was a lot of exposition that wasn't like, like again, because I think that comes down to the dialogue being improvised a lot.
Yeah.
Is that it's not planned out when they're revealing what and how it comes to light and what they're actually saying to each other and whether that's important. It really just comes down to this is the story and you're going to be closer and closer and closer and you're going to be doing this and this. It wasn't actually like the reveal wasn't particularly planned. So
yeah.
I mean, the writing is not a strong point.
No.
In this movie.
Agree. But I think the acting is, though.
I think the performances were fine. Like, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones was a very compelling character. Mm. Harrison Ford, I didn't really... I think anyone could have been Richard Kimball. Well, he only had the beard for the first half hour. Spoiler alert.
If I could pay a compliment here, I know I ribbed on him before we started the review properly, but this is my favourite kind of Tommy Lee Jones in this film. Where he's sassy, but he's not over the top sassy. Like it's just, he gets like one line every scene, but it doesn't take up the entire segment with him. I can deal with this. This is great. I really enjoy it.
Are you saying you didn't like his Two-Face?
It's really hard when I look back at that Batman because we'll talk about that when we eventually review it during the inevitable heat death of this podcast. But yeah, this is a really good performance from him. Like, I wouldn't say it was Oscar worthy, but that's me. It's still a good performance though. Maybe it was a shitty year and they had no choice.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Tommy Lee Jones has one character and that's the character because you get it in Men in Black, you pretty much get it in his Two-Face.
Well, like, I like it in Men in Black.
A little more crazy, but he's always the like almost drill sergeant sort of, you know.
Well, I like it in Men in Black, but I don't like it in Men in Black 2. So there is a line where it's, They're too much. Like, I don't think it's him. I think it's how many times they would write him in. Like, oh, it's a line for him. Let's add an extra couple of dashes of sass to it. Like, it's like, okay, stop. Just a little bit here and there. But because, like I said, literally Men in Black, same role, one and two, and two is not great for me.
What about three?
He was barely in it. It was great. Josh Brolin was a fantastic substitute because he has more gravitas, would you say? I would say that. I'm going to say it.
Less sass, though.
High gravitas.
Yes. But that's the thing, less sass is more.
More finesse. Code.
Yeah, definitely more finesse. Finacity.
Finesse.
Is that the one that we wanted?
Finacity?
Yeah, it's like your levels of finesseness.
No, I don't think that's a word.
It's a scale.
I spoke it.
A finacity scale. It's a thing.
It's like the Schmidt pain index, except it's your pain index and it's from our words.
Yeah.
We need to stop talking because I'll punch you.
Too bad this is a talking
podcast. Yeah, it's like we have to. This keeps the lights on.
I did suggest the eating one.
That's not a better option.
Okay, so what else did you like
about it?
It's like if they saw it. Sorry, no, quick pause. Alex wants to start a new podcast where he just eats different food into the microphone and you have to submit like your guesses as to what he's eating. I think this is hilarious and I want him to do it, but I also think by saying it's a good idea, I feel like I'm also sabotaging his future by saying, oh, go for it, mate. Like this is a terrible idea, but it's hilarious. So
let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Zane's a hard no. Hard no.
It's just so funny though.
Do you want to know who Tommy Lee Jones beat out for the Best Supporting Actor Oscar in this year?
Was it...
A hint?
You will know three of the four nominees that he beat. They've all had quite...
Mufasa.
No, not James Earl Jones.
1993, was it?
93. Well, it was the 94...
Samuel
Oscars.
L. Jackson.
No.
I don't know Eddie what Murphy. Films came out specifically by that year, though.
You'll know one.
John Travolta.
No. So the films were What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Schindler's List, and In the Line of Fire, and In the Name of the Father. Those are the four films that the actors were nominated from.
I've seen a bit of Schindler's List, and that's it.
Who was the supporting role in Schindler's?
Ralph Fiennes.
Wasn't he the
main? As Amon Goeth. Wait. No, Schindler is the main.
I thought
character.
Ray Fiennes played Schindler. Who did he play? Who played Schindler?
It was Kevin Kline, wasn't it?
I thought it was Ray Fiennes.
No, it wasn't Ray Fiennes.
Oh, okay.
He played a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Ray Fiennes played a Nazi. Oh. Like an actual Nazi.
I thought he played Schindler. Okay. It's been a while.
And Leonardo DiCaprio for What's Eating Gilbert Grape and John Malkovich for In the Line of Fire.
John Malkovich for... Being John Malkovich, no,
no. So and then Pete Postlethwaite for In the Name of the Father, but I don't know who Pete Postlethwaite is, or I haven't seen In the Name of the Father.
History has forgotten them both.
Oh.
Okay. Well, what else is good, guys? What else is good about this movie?
I like how we survived a giant fall into a dam.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that too.
That was
you don't sound like you like it, Sam. Well, you're like, that was a thing. It was a thing that I watched in this movie.
Here's why.
It was Liam Neeson was Schindler.
Oh, that makes sense. That's
Liam Neeson. Yes, I always get those two mixed up.
The reason I don't look like I liked it in this movie, but I said that I did, I'm thinking looking forward to next week where we cover Wrongfully Accused. Because of the same scene and how much joy that scene gave me. That's why I'm like, I'm happy that this happened here because I'm going to like it next time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. This is a very basic story though. Like, there's not really much for me to harp on about what I liked about it, but I liked more of it than I didn't.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. Like there wasn't...
When it comes down to it...
It's being chased. So yeah,
I think it's a competent movie. There's nothing inspired about it though. There's nothing groundbreaking. I think it's a movie we've seen a number of times before and since. And I don't think this movie really did anything great.
Well, I'm happy to move on to the bad. I do have some things I'd like to talk about.
Me too.
Sure.
Okay. So
let's say it at the same time. Dialogue. Everyone, dialogue.
Right. Well, you guys don't like the dialogue?
Dialogue is terrible.
It's fine. It's just cop drama. Like, I mean, don't worry, it's not inspired, but it is what it is. Like, it's just cop drama.
It's terrible.
Ah.
Yeah, it is.
I love the police, how sassy they all were with each other. Because how much...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the police in the movie. Sorry, yeah. Yes.
Because of how much of a dick... Tommy Lee Jones' character was and how his little crew had to like deal with them. Like I enjoyed their interplay. I thought that was very nice and like bantery.
Yeah, but banter isn't great dialogue.
But it's entertaining.
Dialogue is like what pushes the movie forward.
Yep.
And it was really kind of like needless banter and then forced exposition, and there wasn't really like there wasn't a like Sorkin does both of those integrated really well. And this movie, there was like very defined lines of when we were like we're bantering, and now we're in expositing. Mm. And I think that was the real weak point of this movie. And it was really like, okay, you're on a script, you're off script, and yep. bouncing towards it. I didn't know when I watched this movie that it was mostly improvised. And I was like, oh, what's going on with his script? And then I read this improvised. Okay, I can see that.
I just remembered a good scene that I should have mentioned.
You've ruined the format of this show. So oh,
get out.
Sorry. when he goes to the police station and then he's like running back through the police station and Tommy Lee Jones is like chasing him. And then they go out into the parade, which was an actual parade happening in the street that they just happened to film around.
Commandeer the parade.
Yeah.
And like everyone, like they didn't know what was happening. So there was just like guys chasing guys through the street with like cameras.
I liked the complaint about like if they can dye the ocean green one time a year, why can't they dye it blue the other 364 days? Because it just made me think of Brisbane River. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. Why can't they just make it look blue?
Yeah, how much money that would cost.
I don't get so opposed to the chlorine outside.
Dick loads of chlorine.
All those poor fish.
Yep.
Oh, they've made their choice living in the Brisbane River. I wasn't
They'll
elected
adapt.
For my privilege to fish, Zane. That wasn't one of my platforms.
Sorry, yeah. But bad things. I don't think you needed to go there to find out. Like, I'm glad it led to like a cool chase, but... I mean,
Honestly, I do think this movie was a bit long. It dragged for me.
Oh yes, not in a good way.
Well, and I don't think it was long for being long's sake. I think like they wanted to have this and have this and have this and have this, and not everything was needed for the story or for the movie. And so by the we got 2/3 of the way through, I was like, okay, where are we going? Because we should have either had a twist now that we are now resolving, or we should have resolved the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the 2/3 of the way through, I was like, this movie has lost me now because I'm not invested anymore.
Yeah.
Because it feels like we're just retreading the same parts of the story over and over again.
I had completely forgotten that we were doing Wrongfully Accused after this, which... out of these two movies, that was the only one that I had seen ever until watching The Fugitive.
It's very funny. It's a very funny fact of your life. Yeah. It's great.
I came into this movie completely forgetting about Wrongfully Accused and watching it going, oh, they took that from Wrongfully Accused. You're
sons of bitches. Like, this is just like a legitimate version of Wrongfully Accused.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on here? Then I looked it up and I was like,
if he jumps from that dam, I swear to God.
If he comes back up as a fish and leaving.
This is just this is just an insight into how much attention you pay into our schedule.
Yes.
That too. Correct. We never claim to be good at our jobs.
No.
Just that we're here on time to do them. Yeah. We're punctual. We're mostly exactly. Punctual.
Mostly. Sometimes organized.
It's like it's horrible. So beyond things we don't like, I would say I would have had the one-armed assassin man show up maybe 20 minutes earlier, because when he starts stalking down Kimball and doing all that stuff, that's when the scene gets a little bit more interesting for me.
I agree. Like that should have been worked into the story a bit more.
Maybe
and having that three-way chase.
I would have had him killing off. So Kimball's telling people what he's learned and stuff. I would have maybe suggested that he not only follows him for a bit longer, but he starts killing more people to cover the tracks. So Kimball then realizes as he's being chased everywhere he goes, bodies are being left in his wake. And it also, for the police, speeds up the drama because they have all these murders on all these locations that Kimball's gone to.
Seb, maybe you should be saving this for the final segment.
Am I doing the final segment? Oh, shit. I didn't think about it. Take it all back. It's going to be original later.
I did not like the way his doctor friend, how they... did that, like they made it so obvious, like, oh, you need help? Here's some money. Oh, you need help? Come to my place. Let's talk. Fuck off. like, oh, the police are after you. All right. Shit, you want some money?
Yes, please.
You want my credit card? What else can I give you? Like, for yeah. God's sake.
I mean, I think that comes down to dialogue. Like, if that scene could have been a lot more compelling if it was scripted better.
Yeah.
And I think this movie really focused on action and like, what are they called? Set pieces, more so than story and dialogue. Mm. And so the movie itself isn't terrible because it does have that to rest on, but it doesn't like elevate the movie itself to a great movie because it does kind of rest on its set pieces and action.
A mistake that this film made is funny because I know it's one that next week's film will actually correct, which is a horrendous thing to say. I think it was a mistake not starting with the murder and showing us it happened. I think the way that they intercut it through the first 40 minutes of this film was weirdly ineffective for me. Like, I just seeing it, and then because he's, you know, we have him at the very beginning sitting being questioned by the police. He's like, it was a man with the one arm, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, the way this is actually coming across is I know we're meant to believe you, but I know this story. I've seen this movie. I don't believe you because the way that's been presented to me.
There is another film that I think did this sort of story a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's more of a courtroom psychological thriller, Primal Fear, Edward Norton. And so we start with there has been a crime committed. These people have been arrested. And then it's through the lawyer's eyes trying to figure out if they did it, why they did it, who could have done it if it wasn't him. And so you are kind of in the air like, did he do it? Didn't he do it? What does it mean if he did? What does it mean if he didn't? And then it gets into like the motivations behind it. And I think that would have made this movie a lot more interesting if you're watching this guy run away and you're not sure if he's the good guy or the bad guy. Yep. And I think that is really – and you have the perfect person to witness that through Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't care if you did it or not. I'm just here to catch you. But then at the end, he should start to care whether he did it or not and whether he's after the right people.
Is Primal Fear the one where Edward Norton pretends that he's schizophrenic?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Spoiler alert.
Sorry. You're fine. Maybe he, as in Edward Norton, the actor, pretends that he's a character with schizophrenia. That's what I meant.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely how I meant that. well... Do you guys want to move on then or any more complaints?
I don't have strong complaints. It really fell flat. Mm. Like it's very competent and I understand why it got the attention it did at the time. It just didn't grab me like I think it should have. I mean could have. Mm. So I don't have a lot of strong complaints, but I don't have a lot of good things to say about it.
Moving on from the bad though, I was gonna say this film has a weird cult following. Have you guys like this has a like significant part of film history around it, but then you go back and watch it and it is like we said, it's just so down the middle. It's just like, but why this one? Like,
yeah,
my memories of U.S. Marshal, which is the less loved sequel of this, is it's actually a bit more exciting.
Mm.
Not that this film had to be exciting in saying that, it just had to be engaging.
Yeah.
And I guess through excitement, Wesley Snipes managed to do that, but it's such a weird thing because it is the lesser sequel. This has to be a case of people looking back on the past without actually reliving it and just thinking favorably of it,
well,
right?
It could have been just one of those movies that at the time, because the 90s, like movies could be like year changing for people because there wasn't the saturation of media that we have now.
Also, Harrison Ford, he had Air Force One at the time as well. Like very big. Pretty big deal, yeah. All right, so moving on from there, I guess we go to our verdicts. Does that sound like the right segment that I'm moving into? Is that, am I doing this correctly?
Sure.
Let's verdict it up, motherfuckers.
All right.
you know, just going for the old casual.
So if we go to a verdict, are we admitting anything? Like, is that what happened?
Yeah. Zane?
I think, you know, I'm the only one that can hear you. I've got the headphones on.
I'm like 30 centimeters from them.
I don't regret having watched this movie. I don't think I'll ever watch it again or recommend that other people watch it or watch it more than once. Like, this isn't even really a good party movie. If you're after a did they, didn't they, there are better movies. If you're after a chase movie, there are better movies. If you're after a cop procedural, there are better movies. I understand that it was a cult movie at the time, and if you want to watch it to get that reference, but even that, watching the movie didn't really enlighten me as to why people have latched onto it. Yeah. So it's just a weird, like, just a C, solid C movie, like C grade movie. Yeah. Like
it hasn't aged well. You're not failing, but it just doesn't feel like it needs to pass either, right?
Well, it just gets a pass.
So you are technically recommending it, or
I'm not for a second take.
Okay,
yeah. Watch it once, but it's not a necessary watch. Even if you want, like, even if you're a huge movie buff, yeah.
Alex,
I'm not gonna say I'll give it a thumbs up, but maybe like a big toes up.
That's gross.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board with Zane. Like, it's not like a sit down and analyze it, but, you know, like, if you've got a film subject and you're struggling for a movie, maybe pick it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like just middle of the run. It's, you know, someone's accused of something that he has or hasn't done, and then he's on the run. Like, that. Yeah. That's it. That's the movie. And it's middle of the road. You're not really on the edge of your seat at any point. And, like, to be honest, the one-armed man was, like, it's so fake.
It's a really weird, yeah. And yeah. Also, you mean it looks kind of fake? Because yeah.
It's just,
I can forgive that, so though. But odd. Yeah. This is really harsh because I feel so bad being the third person to be like, don't see this movie, I guess, because it's not a bad film.
I'm not saying don't see it. Yeah. I'm saying, like, if you want to, sure, watch it, but, like, you're probably going to end up feeling the same and you probably won't watch it again.
But if you have seen it already, you wouldn't go for it, yeah.
If you have any specific reason to watch this specific movie, by all means. But, like, I wouldn't seek it out.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it before, you may enjoy it. It's not even, like, the thing is, it's not even a good mystery. Like, it's, we know the answer to the mystery very in our face. I tell you what, if you're wondering who the secret murderer is and only one random character has rocked up halfway through the film, it's probably them. Enjoy it not being them for the next hour until it's revealed. Like, it's, even as a mystery in its base form, it doesn't really do it. But hey, if you enjoy Tommy Lee Jones and you enjoy Harrison Ford, they are at their most Harrison Fordy and Tommy Lee Jonesian, I guess. Like, this is what you get from them. And it's a bit of sass, but it's just so average.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no, but I feel bad. Three no's paints a bad picture, and we're not saying it's a bad movie. It's just,
I think all three of us have said it's not a bad movie. There's just no reason to watch it.
I feel bad, like, when I finally update the website, it gets three red X's beside it, but yeah, it's just so uninspired.
And maybe it has inspired better versions of itself.
I was about to say, anything good that they do in this film, you will see in another film some next week when we do its parody. But yeah. All right.
Yeah, you got to fix it.
I'm going to do a pitchy pitch pitch.
Yep.
Pitchy pitch pitch pitch. What am I doing to it, guys?
Musical.
Oh. All right.
My favorite.
I want some Gun Carter. I want some John Wick action scenes.
And I want, like, not like...
Wait, no, you made your... Okay, sorry.
Not like musical, but like... what's that one that got all the attention with the people?
La La Land?
Yeah, that one. Like, that style of musical. Not with jazz, but like...
No. But all the music in La La Land happened...
In real life.
In real life. It wasn't in fiction.
Yeah.
So my characters are legitimately stopping to sing together for realsies as human beings.
They don't have to stop.
What?
They don't have to stop.
But they're actually doing it, Doris. It isn't just like artistic scene change.
Hey, Seb. This is your problem now. It's not Alex's.
I know it's my problem.
Think Les Mis.
No. I haven't seen Les Mis. I refuse to watch 12 hours of French musicals.
But Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean, what? All right. Gun Carter, the musical. Fugitive. Okay, so like I said before, I would like to open with the
with the murder, I think having him have to sit down in that interrogation chair and be grilled by these cops when we can actively have seen the scene before, it 100% was not him, creates a very sympathetic antagonist. Sorry, antagonist? Protagonist. He's the good guy.
Prantagonist.
Or maybe I've jumped ahead. No, I haven't. The prantagonist? The prancetagonist, because this is now a musical.
Done.
Cool. So we go through with that. I love the idea of him being involved in a little accident on the way there. It's really happenstance, but for the era that this film came in, it's that right level of cheese. Love that he was freed by the
Gouda.
Yes. It's a Gouda movie. Yeah? No. Mm-hmm. I love that he was freed by that officer because there was a guy there that was really injured and he knew he was a doctor. So I like that his first act of being a freed criminal is actually trying to help someone as well. There's some really good storytelling elements in there that should be kept. The gun Carter comes in with Tommy Lee Jones, though.
Yes.
I'm not rewriting Harrison Ford's character as a fucking...
No, it'll have to be with a one-armed man and...
Yeah,
Tommy Lee.
So the little changes I would like to make is that Tommy Lee Jones and the one-armed assassin, because the one-armed guy was an ex... Was he a cop or military? Because he says he lost his arm in the service.
In military,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. So I'm going to change that to he was a police officer.
Military police.
Ooh, that's a JAG. That's military lawyers.
That's Navy. Yeah. Navy lawyers. Yeah.
Aren't they Air Force and JAG?
No, they're Navy, but they fly it. Fly planes. Oh, the Navy flies.
They need to get their shit sorted. Okay, so Tommy Lee Jones and the one-armed man, ex-partners. He doesn't know that he's involved. Then when Harrison Ford starts saying, it's this one-armed man that did it, and he describes it, Tommy Lee Jones is just instantly so dismissive of it because, you know, Terry would never do that. Or Sykes, I think his name was actually, yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. He has no part in it. And that's where we get to go with Tommy Lee Jones hunting down Harrison Ford's character, becoming more and more suspicious of his ex-partner, Sykes. They were both trained in the same way. I'm getting to the music. No. Oh, I thought you were dancing at me. Sorry.
I was flipping knives around on my fingers.
And I thought you were playing the drums.
Really?
And I love the idea of like he's hunting down Harrison Ford, but his suspicions are growing of his ex-partner. So the entire time, he's really committed to the chase, but he's got this kind of side hunt going at the same time, just because it's so coincidental, you know, what could it be? Anyway, so, you know, everything unrolls the way that it is, except when Harrison Ford finds the one-armed man, like in the train, you know, he is outclassed by him because he's just a doctor. He's hunting down for revenge, but he has no actual way of getting this done. But I have Tommy Lee Jones in that scene and he's now witnessed his partner trying to kill this man that he should in theory have no idea who he is. And that's when they can step in. We get some awesome old person gun Carter fight that makes you really happy, right, Zane?
Now, yeah, you guys, that's fine.
Yeah, you guys are familiar with, is it Stomp, that musical performance where they use like trash cans and shit like these?
Yeah, percussion.
Yeah.
Improvised percussion.
That's how we get a lot of our music in.
Okay.
Because I want them to be like fighting each other and it's like hitting bits of the train, making all these things and stuff. And that's when Harrison Ford takes up singing in fear while watching these two.
It's very 90s avant-garde. I like it.
You're welcome. Fighting on the subway. And that's the whole point. Like we separate. Tommy Lee Jones ends up taking out that guy. And then Harrison Ford can go after the doctor. So we kind of have people fighting people on their own level now. So the cop versus the ex-cop. And the ex-doctor, I guess, now versing the current doctor. And yeah, kind of split the fight that way. That way he gets his revenge, but Tommy Lee Jones can kind of, yeah, take care of what should have been his report. So yeah.
Can I add in one song?
You definitely can.
They're in the sewers and one of them shoots and it like makes all these ricochets.
Yeah.
And he's like, does it again.
Yep.
Creates a song. It'd be cool. And then they get in like there's a pipe that's like letting out water, like
how would you? And okay, so it's all the same style of music that I said, but every song is one done by the police. Better or worse. Or.
Send it out.
Yeah, yep. Yep, no, I commit to it. Yep. So all the songs are by the police, except they're all done in.
Like stomp.
Yeah, stomp style. Yeah. Beautiful. You're welcome. Can I go home now?
Done.
Nope.
Shit. Can we roll the end clip?
Yes.
Good.
Love you.
Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. So if you want to get in contact with us, there are a number of ways to do it. You can go to our website, which is secondtakepodcast.com.
Or you can email us, because we have one of those things. We are secondtakepodcast@gmail.com.
And always I've got Facebook, you know, Facebook/Second Take. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, that one. Or Second Take Podcast, you find it.
Yeah.
And Twitter, @SecondTakeTNC.
Or we have an Instagram, funnily enough. Sometimes we post video. No videos.
Of
pictures, though, that are funny.
There was quite a smart tweed jacket on there the other day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I got bored.
really?
Also, if you guys want to support the show, we also have a link to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/secondtake. This is a big variety of ways that you guys can give to us. It starts as little as $1 per month, which is $12 a year. It's pretty low and pretty simple. But we've also got sort of a group goal going at the moment there. So once we hit our first target, which is collectively $50 a month, we're going to release all of our reviews of the Monty Python film series.
And then the
idea is ongoing from there. For every little milestone we hit, we're going to do extra series for everyone. So
please go on and sponsor us so that we can review the Monty Pythons, because I can't watch them until then.
It's true. We're not allowed to watch any movies unless we're reviewing them.
and if you want to have a listen to any of the other podcasts that any of us are on, go to thatsnotkindofproductions.com, which is the mothership for all of our other podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In one of them, I'm a wizard. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And I get to torture that wizard. It's even better.
And maybe just one day there'll be solo podcasts that we do.
Yeah. Where we just talk at ourselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
The best kind of podcast. No interruptions.
Right?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
None of this over-talking of each other.
I do like to think fans will literally pause just to be like, that's not true. That's not how that works. Just because it's you in the room by yourself, Sam, doesn't mean you're incorrect. Anyway, it's fine. Good.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening.
And go do all the things on social media.
Hooray.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.